And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Currently 72 degrees. And joining us on the phone this morning, as he does this time every month, we have the Attorney General of the state of Kansas, Derek Schmidt. And Mr. Schmidt, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning, Kyle. Doing very well, thanks.
All right. Well, sir, we got a few topics on the tab to talk about this morning. And one of the things that people need to look out for, a lot of consumers, they need to be encouraged to watch out for scammers posing as utility companies seeking payment on the threat of shutting off electricity. This has been going around after, you know, the storm we had this winter. So a lot of people, you know, had higher bills. So this is something we got to watch out for, correct?
This is a scam that crops up every once in a while. It seems to run in cycles, and right now it's back. I've gotten a lot of complaints on this in recent weeks, and it's exactly as you described. Bad guys pose as your utility company, or sometimes they pose as a debt collection firm working for your utility company. They contact you, usually by telephone, sometimes by email, and they say if you don't make the payment right away, they're going to shut off your utility, your gas, your electric, your telephone, whatever it may be. It's not real. And, of course, the entire purpose is to try to panic you into sending money right away in order to make that supposed payment and avoid a shutoff. So whenever we see this, we try to warn people that this scam is back. We've worked with some of the major utilities in Kansas to try to get the word out and just want people to be alert, and forewarned is forearmed, and it's not real. Your utility company, if you get behind, they may be in communication with you about your money that you owe, but they're not going to do it on these sort of urgency calls and you have to pay right now or we're going to shut you off. That's never real.
Right. They'll usually give you a call and say, hey, this is what's happening. Can we set up a payment cycle? They're not going to just go, hey, we're going to shut you off, so you need to pay right now. So you'll usually know before that happens.
Also, that's exactly right. You will have received written information from them as well.
Absolutely. Also, you are asking the state Supreme Court to hear an expedited appeal of a lower court's ruling regarding Senate Bill 40. This has kind of been, I talked to Senator Peck last week, and this has kind of been a thing where there's kind of a lot of confusion in this going around. Some people think it's that this Senate bill is still in effect. Some people think it's not. Just kind of give us the 411 on what is going on with this.
It is a state of confusion, and unfortunately, I think it was all avoidable. There was a court decision from the state district court in Johnson County that was not a model of clarity, and as a result of that, I think a lot of people of good faith read the court's decision and draw very different conclusions about the effect that it's had on the law. Here's the issue. As you're well aware, all of your listeners are aware, there was a lot of discussion and debate over the past year and a half about the scope of emergency powers, both state level and locally, to respond to the COVID pandemic. The legislature made a lot of changes in the law, and one piece of those changes basically struck the bargain that the legislature decided not to really regulate or restrict the power of local units of government, schools or cities or counties, not to restrict those powers in terms of ordering mask mandates or other forms of mitigation. But in exchange for keeping hands off, the legislature set up this special process by which any citizen in a local community who is aggrieved or unhappy with a local unit of government's decision in terms of COVID mitigation would get a special right to go to court in an expedited way and have a judge review what's been done. That was the bargain the legislature struck. That happened up in Johnson County, where a group of parents were very unhappy with the Shawnee Mission School District's decision on how to handle masking and other mitigation efforts this coming fall when school reconvenes. They went to court, the parents did, and the court, instead of just resolving the dispute between that group of parents and that school district, instead took it upon itself to raise the issue of the constitutionality of the entire statute the legislature had passed, and then ruled that the statute was unconstitutional. That was difficult enough, but as I already said, the ruling was so imprecise it's really difficult to understand how much of that statute the court held unconstitutional. So at this point, there are some people that think only this special provision that let parents and others go to court and get a quick review, only that has been invalidated. And there are others who think the entire Emergency Management Act, all of it, has been invalidated, and we don't have an Emergency Management Act now. And to make things even more complicated, there are two different schools of thought as to the effect of the court's ruling, because the court didn't enter an injunction. It just declared, and for those that follow that. And so as a result, there are some who think the court's ruling only affects people in Johnson County, and there are others who think the court's ruling affects all Kansans in all 105 counties. So it's a terribly confused state of the law. We have appealed that ruling to the Kansas Supreme Court, and asked that court to give us a quick answer. And the court said it would. Of course, quick in judicial speak sometimes isn't quick to you and me in the rest of the world. And so right now we're on track for an answer sometime in late September. So that's the state of the play. That's why it's so confusing. The bottom line is the legislature's bargain, if you will, that empowered local folks to challenge local restrictions is certainly not valid currently in Johnson County and is questionable, but we're not sure in the rest of the state.
All right, so that is what is going on with that confusing situation going on up there, and of course there will be an appeal on that. Also, Kansas has joined an amicus brief in the election law of U.S. versus Georgia on the grounds of their new election laws down there. And in fact, those laws are similar to what we have here in Kansas.
They are, Kyle, and that's why we went ahead and joined in on that. Kansas this year made a number of changes and upgrades to our election security laws. That's not unusual, by the way. Almost every year the legislature meets, they consider election security legislation, and they pass it frequently. Every two or three years there tends to be a modification to state law. I describe it as doing preventative maintenance on your car. So, too, the legislature does that on our election security laws, which is one of the reasons that we really haven't had the types of problems in our election system that we've seen in some other states. So that happened this year. Unfortunately, I think against the backdrop of really sort of hyper-partisan passions on this subject around the country, Kansas was sued almost immediately upon those laws being passed, even though I really think they're very reasonable regulations. They're very consistent with what a lot of other states are. But nonetheless, we're in court defending those laws in Kansas. And meanwhile, down in Georgia, where, of course, there's been so much attention on their election system after the last presidential election, strongly held views, the U.S. Department of Justice actually weighed in and sued the state of Georgia for enacting some of their own election laws that in many ways are quite similar to the ones enacted here in Kansas. And so we went ahead and weighed on behalf of Georgia. We filed a brief on Georgia's behalf asking the court down there to dismiss the Department of Justice action. And, of course, the reason we did that was we don't want this notion that the federal government, the U.S. Department of Justice, is sort of just has an open-door policy to come in and challenge state election laws, unless there's a very good reason states are discriminating based on race or something, and there's no credible allegation of that. So here we are, and hopefully we're able to keep these state laws defended. Election security can remain at the top of the priority list for states like Kansas and like Georgia. And we can sort of get back to business more as normal, which has worked pretty well in Kansas over the years.
And one of the last things I do want to talk about is you've signed a letter to the urging the FCC to force small telecoms to use anti-robocall technology to protect consumers. I get these calls a lot of the time, and it pops on my phone as potential scam. And I've been getting a lot of these as of late, and I know I'm on the no-call list. But so how will this affect everybody? Will this just affect folks that have small, that are on small telecoms? How will this work out?
That's right. So we've talked from time to time over the years on your show about the types of things we've been trying to do to really crack down on robocalls. And I've always believed and still do that this is a technology-enabled problem, and it's going to require a technological solution, not just a law enforcement solution. So to that end, working with a lot of the major and some of the minor telecommunications companies, a group of us as state attorneys general reached an agreement about 2.5 years ago now for the companies to deploy a new type of call blocking technology, make it available, that is going to be much more effective, again, for stopping robocalls. Congress actually then weighed in and mandated that all telecom companies that provide telephone services do that. But it was a good idea. It generally agreed to. Congress has now required it by law. And here's the specific issue right now. For purposes of complying with that law, of having this new specialized call blocking technology available, the big telephone companies, think AT&T or Sprint or T-Mobile, those companies are going to have that technology deployed in about a year. But there's been a delay giving the small regional telephone carriers until 2023 to get that implemented. And what we're asking now, we've taken a look at that. We've consulted with some of the smaller telecoms. We think they can get the job done a year sooner than 2023, and we're asking that that happen, that the deadline for the smaller companies to comply be moved up to 2022 so that everybody who's using a telephone company for service, big or small, can have access to this robocall blocking technology much sooner. That's the objective here.
And, of course, I think with the bigger companies, that's why it shows up on your – is that why it shows up on your phone as potential scam so that you know not to answer or just hang up on that phone? Is that kind of part of what that robocall legislation was about?
It's related to that, Kyle, yes. What the consumer sees really probably won't change very much. You'll still get those potential spam notices or the ability to shut those potential spam calls off entirely at your option. What we're talking about here is sort of a back-end requirement that makes those blockers much more accurate and effective. Makes it much easier technologically for the little electronic brain that says this is a potential spam call to know that, in fact, this is a potential spam call. So it makes those more accurate and more efficient.
All right, so some good stuff there for you. And also, if anybody has any questions that they would like to ask, or maybe they have a complaint they would like to file, how can they do that, sir?
Well, anybody's always welcome to contact us, especially on the consumer protection side. So let me give you our Consumer Protection Division contact. That's online at www.inyourcornerkansas.org. Or toll-free anywhere in Kansas at 800-432-2310.
All right. Well, again, sir, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. We always appreciate it. And we will talk to you again about the same time next month.
Sounds great. Thank you, Kyle.